to you people. Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Well, yes. For another day of broadcast insolence.
Could have got into Stanford, Ro. Could have got in.
If I only knew.
If only you had known. You would have done your lemonade stands. You would have done your whatever it took to make your $5 million.
If my mother knew that all she had to do was fake up a football resume for me,
gosh,
even though my high school didn't have a football team.
And I can't really picture you being on a football. I just can't.
Love
I don't
have been on the football team.
Yeah, I just can't see it.
I don't know what I would have done.
He's a long snapper, we swear. Look at him. Look how athletic he is.
Look at his kicking abilities. And, go ahead, kick for us, Ro.
And because high schools are, you know, known for having separate long snappers. Right? That's exactly what every high school team has. They got specialty players that just pop up out of nowhere.
Yeah, that was the tip-off to the rip-off, as the Better Business Bureau likes to say. But, I mean, gosh, the extents that they went to is just, it's remarkable. Going to fake testing sites or testing sites outside of where they normally would go to have a proctor who would either change your questions, change your answers, or help you along. Scores were going up by, you know, dramatic numbers, including in Felicity Huffman's daughter's case, allegedly. Her daughter's score went up 400 points.
Combined.
Mean, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculousness.
So kind of like everything we've always assumed, that rich people can just buy their way into school. That
it's
everyone
like,
always, oh, another celebrity's kid's going to Stanford.
Well, did you ever wonder that, right, when you read, like, oh, wow, Yale, that's, I guess that's pretty cool. Like, wow,
right.
How'd that happen?
Right.
Well, you know,
and some of them deserve to be there, but there will be a shadow on everyone after this.
It's like, now, but gosh. I don't want it to be a shadow. Like Julia Louis-Dreyfus's and Brad Hall's kid.
They went
to
Northwestern.
They went to Northwestern. The kid went to Northwestern. He played on the team.
Charlie Hall.
Hall, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. He's still on the team?
How did you know he played on the team?
Well, he's there.
No,
he's
his
on the
parents
bench.
Are at every game in the front row.
That's true.
Court side.
He actually gets into the games and he plays at a Big Ten, you know, as a bench warmer Big Ten level, right?
He got a start the other night for senior night.
Yeah.
Oh,
see?
Great.
Yeah. That's nice.
Been a team player.
Yeah.
I like Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Now, a guy like that, I just don't want him to get washed up into this whole Felicity Huffman problem.
No, I wouldn't either, because I wouldn't want to believe that one is true at all, and it's not, so...
But if my mother knew that this was a possibility.
Surprised she didn't call you today.
This is,
how
she
come
did.
You didn't
I
tell me?
I haven't picked up the phone yet because I know that's what she's going to yell at me about. But the funny thing is now I took my SATs twice and I went up by 200 points the second time.
That's good.
Because I had to pee the first time.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. I got nervous.
You got the nerves?
Yeah. And I was taking them at Brother Rice and the brothers wouldn't let me get up and go to the bathroom in between the tests. I will never forget this.
Wait, in between the tests, they wouldn't let you go?
Right. All right, so, you know, they start with 1 half-hour, whatever it was.
Yeah,
it was like
right.
Four
you have
half
sections.
Hour tests or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or six, whatever it is. And then they give you like 15 minutes in between.
Yeah.
And the minute I sat down, all of a sudden, I was like, oh my God, I gotta go pee. I was like,
oh, gee.
Like, almost in a panicky kind of a way,
right?
And I'm like, and I knew I was nervous and all that because, you know, that's not where I went to high school. And it was.
Yeah,
it
that feels weird, doesn't it, when you're in an environment that's not familiar to you?
Yeah. And I was already told I was not a good test taker.
Why'd you have to go down to Brother Rice?
Because that's the only place it was offering in the city at that,
really?
You know, for that particular Saturday.
It depended on kind of when you wanted to take it, right? So you had to go to the location of the time that you know, the month you wanted to take it and the date you wanted to take it.
And they didn't have it at the, like, downtown. This is before Peyton was there or anything. So there wasn't like, a big school downtown that would have been, a central deal.
See, this one surprised me because I always thought, well, if you made a nice contribution to the university, they sort of gave you preference in the admissions process. And I felt as if that was out there and that happened. And John Williams was talking earlier about the University of Illinois situation where clouded parents and clouded people were able then, years ago, to able to help with the admissions process. But this went so much farther than that. Making donations to a fake charity, which was really a bribe scheme to pay off certain individuals.
But where is all this money going exactly?
Well, to this guy who's now pleaded guilty.
Mr. Singer.
Yes. And Mr. Singer has other problems, though, too. Because Mr. Singer is going to have to explain exactly what that charity was. Now he's turning on Felicity Huffman. Now poor Felicity Huffman.
And how come isn't William H. Macy? Isn't that her husband? How come he doesn't get named?
Now that's the funny thing.
Just the mom.
Well, they say that maybe she didn't share all of this with him. See, the problem is she is on tape, apparently.
Oh.
Along with Lori Loughlin, who is also apparently on tape. discussing things, sort of being too in on the deal. Now, that's at least according to the documents that have been filed,
mm-hmm.
that they knew they were using language in these recorded tapes that seemed to indicate that they knew there was a scheme here and that they were taking part in an illegal activity.
Uh-oh.
I mean, this story is wild. There are part of the story here is they were coaches and Singer were taking stock images and photoshopping their children's
yes.
face onto the athlete and saying, "Yep,
oh my gosh.
He's definitely an athlete."
fake photos that you submit,
like stock
of them
images,
playing games,
and they're photoshopping the kid's face onto an athlete.
Well, you could have done that.
I should have done that. Well, do you think? Let me ask you a question.
Football pads.
Do you?
Here I am.
Here's my Halloween, only for a Halloween costume. And then they go, yeah, no, the guy, you know, he actually played in Canadian football for
right.
a season.
But then you'd forget to take off the cravat, and they'd be like, wait a minute, you don't wear that.
Like Niedermeyer? Yes. You know, here's the thing. Do you think that they went to, like, Hollywood Studios to go have these things made?
Right.
Did they go, the same people who somehow made Forrest Gump work his way into, like, you know, meeting Nixon and stuff like that, that they said, you know, what we need here is we need little Bill Jr.
Uh-huh.
to look like he's actually playing football. So we're going to superimpose his face on Jim Brown's body. Keep the hands out.
Oh. Oh, geez.
But, sir, he's Caucasian. Just do it.
And this is like real prison time, up to 20 years.
Well, they're saying up to 5 years. If she goes to jail,
would seem harsh, I would say.
This is a miscarriage. If Paul Manafort only got 4.5 years for hiding millions of dollars from Russian-backed Ukrainians, right? Well, trying to throw an election for them. No, it's not officially. He was trying to throw the election here yet, but in Ukraine, that he's only going to get 4.5 years for that. If she does 5 years because she tried to superimpose her kid's face
and had her kid take a fake test and had a proctor doctor it up,
yes, a proctor
and made a bad charity contribution that she might have written off on her taxes, which would be the other issue too as well.
All right, Ben Bradley is going to join us here in just a second and explain his side of the story. We're going to find out
where does he stand.
Why? Well, right,
fake exams?
Yes, we're
bribing your children into schools.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I took SAT prep. Was that? That's not cheating, right?
No, that's not what they're talking about.
Stanley Kaplan or whatever the guy's name is.
Yeah, Kaplan. Yeah. Right, the Kaplan Institute or whatever it was called.
Right.
They helped you.
Yeah, that was
great. Thought that was normal. I did some, you know, tutoring.
Yeah, you got to do that.
Prep? Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And then when the Stanley Kaplan people threw me out, they were like,
like
my parents were like, you know, I think we're going to have to find somebody else. You know, otherwise you're going to end up in radio. All right, let's check in right now. What's going on, Kim, in the newsroom? What's at the bottom of the hour?
Just putting it out there, I'm not a Harvard grad. A new police academy on the West Side, one step closer to reality.
All right, Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom. Ben, did you get clouded into college?
I did not.
Where did you go?
I went to the University of Missouri, and I'll never forget having the conversation with my dad.
Yep.
You know, I said to him, Dad, I really want to pursue journalism, and I think I'm going to go to the University of Missouri. And he said, why the hell would you go all the way down there? It's in the middle of a cornfield. I don't understand why you don't go to Northwestern. They got a good journalism school. And I said, well, Dad, other than the fact that we can't afford it and I can't get in, I think that sounds like a great plan.
It's true.
So I nearly, you know, he wanted, if he had his way, I would have gone to Harvard on Halstead, which was Prairie State College.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Percy. Yes.
Yeah.
Harvard of Halstead. Yes.
Yes.
I think UIC also says it's the Harvard of Halstead, if I'm not mistaken. All right. So the features of this story are still a little fuzzy. I know there's a very detailed indictment that has been released or charging papers that have been released.
And I was just reading through that. I mean, it's wild as you go through kind of the price list of what you can get. So,
okay, so what do I get?
Well, so... this one family paid $1.2 million to get their daughter into Yale. That's what you were talking about just before the break. They created this fake athletic profile for her. They lied about her being on some elite soccer team. And then they bribed the Yale women's soccer coach at least $400,000. And sure enough.
But here's the thing. You don't lose in Division I if you're hurt. I guess that's the rule, right? If you're hurt, they still have to keep your scholarship and stuff.
Well, I'm not going to surprise you when I tell you I was never a Division I athlete, but...
Kev, yeah, I mean, I guess, Kev, I mean, you were a Division I athlete, weren't you?
You played a little ball.
Do you believe I actually don't think that's true. I think that's actually something that gets brought up quite a bit when teams don't...
Honor their commitments
to players who get hurt. Now, yeah, because there was a story about that. Pat Fitzgerald for Northwestern, that's like one of his sticking points, is that no matter what happens to the player, he'll stick to the commitment of the scholarship. So I think some teams can move on from players.
A limited number of scholarships.
Right, exactly.
But you think the coaches themselves would say, you know, I don't know how many scholarships are... Well, I guess this wasn't necessarily scholarships, right? This was just juiced positions that had lower academic standards that a coach could say, hey, I really want this, this athlete.
Finally, the truth comes out! That the guys at Yale who are on the football team may not be as smart as the guys who are in the econ program.
Oh, yeah. They say they make that very clear in the criminal complaint, that it was a whole different set of standards for the athletes, and that's why they would go through the coaches. As the guy who allegedly ran this whole operation, the CEO of the college prep business, he referred to it as the side door into some of these universities like Yale, Wake Forest, Stanford, the University of Southern California. The other component of this was prosecutors say this guy who ran the college prep business also had test proctors and administrators scattered about, and for the low, low price of $15,000 to $75,000
what do you get for that?
Per test, they would rig the standardized testing process either by giving the person more time, or in some cases, having the test proctor, the administrator, allow somebody in who wasn't the actual student.
Right, but they said that there was this one guy who was remarkable at just being able to perform at almost any level. So if they looked at your prior scores and if you wanted 300-point jump in the SAT, he could do that for you and deliver it.
Right. But what's fascinating is, so imagine you're like the senior in high school, right? And everybody's buzzing about, you know, where they're going to college. And, you know, the 89-pound, 5'2" kid who's been in chess club says, oh, I just got a soccer scholarship to Yale.
I'm going to tell you something right now, Ben. I don't think any of these kids were in chess club, if you know what I mean.
Well, Lori Loughlin's daughters are on the USC crew team. Though they do not participate in crew.
Well, and they took pictures of some of the kids on ERG. You know, you have to do ERG times in order to be on rowing. And they have pictures. They asked them, the parents, to have their kids sit on an ERG and take a picture of them, even though they never had performed on an ERG.
What is an ERG? A boat?
I rowed it. So ERG is like what you do for, you make your, it's like you've seen it at gyms, the rowing machine, ultimately.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Yeah. ERG time.
Well, and wasn't Lori Loughlin's daughter the one who is best known in her college career for being an Instagram influencer?
Yeah.
And like Amazon Prime sponsor? So she's posted all these pictures of her like stretched out across her dorm bed saying, Amazon Prime just delivered this. Well, yeah, your mom just delivered the education.
Right.
Generally, should get you into Harvard. You have a good Instagram thing going on.
Back in my day, there was a picture of somebody sprawled across a bed that was taken.
Yeah, I would stop right there.
Immediately were taken to the University Judicial Council. That's how that ended.
Well, now, again, all of this is wrong, and let's not forget that there were students who were then essentially cheated out of spots.
Yes.
Deserving students cheated out of spots because of this. So this is not a victimless crime, but you can't argue that 20, 30 years ago, the rich and famous weren't buying their kids into these schools by donating a gymnasium or a wing of the library.
Right.
That's the part we were wondering about. I mean, you know that part of it seems to be in place, right? You see the children of wealthy donors to universities. They often or sometimes end up at that university.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that may be one of the reasons that that there's been a clampdown of all of the university records from one of the presidents of the United States, who I believe that there is a...
Well, you just wonder how widespread it is.
Yes.
You wonder how widespread it is. This is one particular guy named Mr. Singer who had contacts with about a dozen coaches and other people, and they all...
In one of the recorded calls, Singer allegedly said that he had done this for 800 people.
Oh, gee.
So much more than just the, you know, 30 celebrities and, you know, financial whiz people who had done financial whiz people, that doesn't make sense.
Oh,
for the private equity people, etc.
Who else is going to go down in this thing? All right, we got to run now, Ben.
Okay. Well, don't forget, donate to my wing of the library so my kids can get into school. I think we bought a book. That's all we could do.
Ironically,
that's not going to be enough.
Can I get in? Oh, the places you'll go.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ben. Yeah. Thank you. And I'm not even going to finish any of these stories now. We did run out of time.
I know.
All right. Kim Gordon's got the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. It's Tuesdays with Brendan.
I'm glad we've gotten this back again. You know, we missed a couple of Tuesdays with Brendan O'Reilly.
On the O'Reilly. Well, you know, it is St. Patrick's Day week. So
Did I say O'Reilly?
Yeah, so we should call him Brendan O'Reilly.
Yeah,
just
this
because
week.
It just makes it
Brendan
sort of make
Riley,
more sense.
I meant to say.
Brendan O'Reilly is the official alderman of the Rokon show with Anna DeVlantis, because he happens to be the alderman of this actual building. That's why we have to be very careful when we have him in.
We do.
Because every once in a while, he shows up and there's inspectors with him and stuff. I don't know how
citations
that...
Citations come, yeah, follow afterwards.
Next thing you know. But this is a fairly interesting... Now, you... You won a unanimous vote in your election. You were unopposed, right, in the primary, such that it's called now. And so you continue on to 4 more years of being an alderman, and congratulations on that, sir.
Congrats.
But I guess the real question is, where do we go from here in this? You have not made an endorsement, right?
No, I have not.
Okay,
no.
for the mayor. Yeah. And what is your thought on how this whole thing broke down? Happened.
You know, for the entire first round, Tony Preckwinkle was considered to be the front runner. That caused several candidates to pile on and have to ostensibly tear her down and hit her with negatives. And it really turned into a big food fight between Susana Mendoza and Bill Daley and Tony Preckwinkle. But during all the food fighting, Lori Lightfoot was fortunate not to get in the middle of all that mess. And I think she became an alternative to the perceived machine candidate.
Mm-hmm. That commercial was very effective.
It was a very effective commercial. And we saw voters undecided right up until the last weekend of that campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that Lori became a default vote for those folks who either couldn't make up their minds among the front runners or wanted something completely different from those household names we're used to reading about in the newspaper every day.
What do you make of the choices we have now and the polls that show Lori with an incredible lead on Tony Preckwinkle, even though she has more money in the race so far, and she's got this strong union support behind her?
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting choice. I think both candidates embrace progressive values in different ways. But let's be honest, Tony Preckwinkle has been a part of the establishment. She started out as a progressive reformer who fought the Daley administration tooth and nail. But now she's become the chairman of the Cook County Democratic Party. And with that comes those accusations of being a, quote, machine politician, end quote. And so that's how she's been defined so far in the race by all of her opponents. And then on the other hand, you've got Lori Lightfoot with some private sector experience. She does not have the experience of governing or running large institutions. But she has, I think, put out a message of change and wanting to get a fresh set of eyes on old problems. So each of these candidates, I think, presents a different set of credentials. They're both very impressive candidates in their own right.
Yeah, they're competence is not an issue here.
No, absolutely not. We're fortunate. I think we've got two excellent choices, and we're going to see history made one way or another. We're going to have an African-American woman running the city of Chicago, which I think is great. But I think you're going to see those contrasts and differences drawn more sharply in the next week or so.
Really? You think so? You think as this thing sort of heads toward terminal velocity, that some people might be taking shots? I'm actually kind of surprised that it took more than 4 days before the negative started, you know. It was like, but they weren't really prepared for each other, I don't think, were they?
No, I don't think the Preckwinkle campaign anticipated a Lightfoot
Daley
runoff,
right?
I think they're expecting Bill Daley, and it was close. And I think, Lightfoot surprised everyone in the city of Chicago, and immediately had to get to the task of gearing up and getting additional resources and staff, getting satellite offices open where she didn't have those before. So she's having to play a bit of catch up on infrastructure, and certainly with the fundraising disadvantage. But again, she's benefited, I think, from a lot of goodwill and this general air of we want change in the city of Chicago. And the poll numbers show that. If you ask the average voter in the city of Chicago, is the city heading in the right or wrong direction? A large majority of voters are going to tell you they think it's heading in the wrong direction. That bodes well for a change candidate.
I do wonder when it comes to police. It's the one thing that we were talking to John Cass yesterday about this. And the Tribune editorial board was meeting with both of the candidates today. And I think one of the questions is, the Chicago Police Department is arguably the most critical function for the city of Chicago here. You know, water would be the first most ostensible one, right? Because we can't live without it. But in terms of how this city really operates and moves, and you know, keeping it going in a direction that is sustainable, the Chicago Police Department has to be well managed and it has to be well funded and all of those things and well trained. And with these two politicians now, they both have run. They ran campaigns essentially saying, "You know, I was responsible." You know, Attorney Preckwinkle going, "I was responsible for the Laquan McDonald investigation," and of course, Lori Lightfoot had had her seat at the table of the oversight committees.
Right.
So, how do they? What do you think the police department wants to hear from these?
Well, you know, both candidates have been critical of the department in different ways over time. I think that the rank and file officers want to know that their next mayor will have their back. That does not mean excusing bad behavior.
Because there's about 50,000, a little bit more than 50,000 votes in Chicago.
For sure.
Between police, retired police, and family.
Sure. And they tend to vote.
That's right. I think they want to make sure that they're properly resourced. I think that the Police Training Academy, while it's hyper-controversial right now, is an important step in the right direction. We want to make sure that our police and firefighters are well-trained. But I think that there's been a feeling within the department, among the rank and file, that they've all been painted with the same broad brush. And when you have a bad cop or bad cops making headlines, they feel like they're being painted by the same brush.
Right.
And so I think it's important that, that the next mayor at least install leadership they have faith in and be true to that leadership and allow the police, the professionals, to run that department. It can't be a political police department. Every department is in a big city.
Right.
But they got to get a lot of the politics out of this one because politicians are not well equipped to run police departments. That's why we have cops.
Well said.
Good point. Excellent point.
Do you think, can I drag you into the commuter tax issue?
Sure.
Total taxation issue. So the city, right, everybody's talking about how the city's broke. They're going to need to find new revenue streams. And some of the ideas here, one of them that Bill Daley ran on, which sort of surprised me that
he
did this as a business guy, right? That's where he came from. He was he's, you know, even though it was a Daley, wasn't a business, it wasn't a politician, right? Except in Washington.
Yeah.
A politician, he was a bureaucrat. The idea of taxing people who are coming into the city and working in the city, that on top of all the other taxes that they're talking about here and the property taxes and now with the state new tax proposal that that the governor has let, I mean, why would anybody stay in the state of Illinois?
I think the commuter tax is a terrible, terrible idea. And remember, you impose a commuter tax that cuts both ways. One, it sends a strong message to the headquarters that we're trying to lure here. Maybe not, because we're going to be taxing your employees more to go to work. But what's to stop Park Ridge, Oak Park, Evanston, and all the other towns from doing the exact same thing? It's ridiculous. And so while certainly we're in need of finding some new revenue streams, given our huge pension liabilities that are going to get a lot bigger here in the next couple of years, the obligations at least, that's not the way to go. Likewise, a city income tax, terrible public policy.
Where does it end? Even they go, hey, it's 1%. What difference is that going to make to anybody? And the next thing you know, it's 2, it's 3, it's 4, it's 5. Look at what happened in New York, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, let's take a local example here. The parking garage tax. when it was first implemented. Oh, it's just a small little fraction of your parking bill. Now it's more than half.
Look at parking now in the city.
It's insanity. So no, you want to drive the city further into the ground, impose a commuter tax, and lump on top of that an income tax.
What about the LaSalle Street tax? Is that in the same category in your mind?
Again, it sounds great on paper. It's a wonderful way to pander to voters.
Let's explain what that is.
But the LaSalle Street tax, which it depends on which proposal you're looking at. One would have it a one half of a cent tax on every single transaction that occurs at the Board of Trade, and there are many millions upon millions of those a day.
Right. And the Board of Trade has already threatened to get up and leave and move their servers, their server farm, to Florida to avoid all taxation.
That's exactly right. And so I've had to remind my colleagues, sounds wonderful on paper if you're looking for, quote, free money, end quote.
Right.
But the bottom line is you put those servers in the back of a truck, you can do that business from anywhere in the country. We're very, very fortunate to have them here today.
Yeah. It makes Chicago, there are moments in the week where Chicago is the fifth largest economy in the world.
Yeah.
Now, if you want that to go away, this is what makes Chicago relevant in a way and is always in the Board of Trade. I don't think people really kind of get how critically important that institution is to Chicago, that it draws. That's why major international banks are here.
That's right.
That is why there are the hedge funds. You know, one of the most successful hedge fund in the United States is based here.
That's right.
Right. In part because of the internet infrastructure that is here because of the Board of Trade and other things. And if that goes away, that goes away. It would be in a lot of ways like Detroit losing GM in the way that they, you know, the way that GM sort of, you know, fell apart on them.
Yep.
And that we cannot afford.
No, it's a major platform in our local economy, and you got to keep those good things here. And this idea that, you know, companies can just print more money in the basement is ridiculous. This is a hyper-competitive national economy, city fighting city for jobs and headquarters. We cannot give people more excuses to avoid the city of Chicago.
So it leads you to the real challenge for the next mayor, because you do have these massive unfunded pension liabilities due one a year after they take office, another a couple years later, $300 million each. You got to find some new revenue
You do. And look, there are some revenue streams that are being considered right now that could be very helpful. There's talk about legalizing gaming in some form in the city of Chicago.
It doesn't pay that much, though, is it?
It doesn't pay a lot. Legalization of marijuana, it depends on what iteration comes out of that process. Those are not the silver bullets.
It doesn't get you where you need to go.
It doesn't. And I think one of the key tasks for the next mayor, honestly, is to be able to be a force in Springfield. That's going to be critically important. It's important.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. People south of the I-80 love when they hear that. It's like, what are you telling me? Yeah, that I'm going to be paying my taxes.
Well, no. And we're not looking to take tax money away from downstaters. But we do need to get back to the equitable formula of getting our distributive share of the state income tax sent back to us.
There's your answer.
That's it. Well, the state has been withholding many, many hundreds of millions of dollars from the city of Chicago that by law we're supposed to get as our share of the taxes. And so that stopped under Bergoyevich, and it was never restored. And that is really hurting us when it comes to our bottom line.
All right. Well, Alderman, it's really been something.
Yeah. You bring great news, don't you?
Interesting couple of weeks, has it not? And it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. And you often wonder in these situations, you know, why does anybody want this job, right? But they got to take it. And it will be, it's going to be a tight, as you're alluding to, the next couple of weeks. Ugh. All kinds of stuff's going to, there's going to be blood on the walls here. So,
that's for sure.
Yeah. And we here in the media hate when that happens. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
it.
Alderman Brendan Riley or O'Reilly here for this week.
Thanks, O'Reilly.
Not wearing green, though.
No.
Just something I don't
understand. What's wrong with you?
I will on Saturday and Sunday.
Good.
Are you going to the Southside Irish Parade?
I'll be up here at the North Side version.
You don't go to the South Side one?
Not anymore.
Whoa.
It's a political liability.
They cleaned it up.
It's a political liability.
All right. Well, more on that. I'll report later on that issue. But first, let us now check in with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Roe, the current age for buying tobacco in Illinois may be going up in smoke.
All right. Coming up, we are just seconds away from the most important moments of the day. That's where Tom Skilling tells us what's going to happen this weekend. And look out. There's something very weird happening. It's going to be in the 60s.
I know he promised us one in March.
Yes, but it's going to be something weird that comes along with it. Coming up, the stories of manner with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Mm-hmm. Concho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Tom Skilling joins us. Tom, I got some business here I got to take care of as we get started.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, you ready?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, A, numero uno, number one. Paul Vallis is waiting in the PPG Paints green room after Kim's news at the bottom of the hour tells who he's endorsing Chicago mayor. That's a big deal
right now. It is a big deal. Yeah.
Big deal. Yeah. Big deal. Dude, we're having Aldermania today. We've got, we had
Aldermania.
Aldermania. That should be my band. We had Brendan Riley, or as we call him this time of year, Brendan O'Reilly, because, you know, we make him triple
it's
Irish.
That time of the year when you do that.
He's only double Irish as he shows up. Now we go triple. And then we're going to have another alderman who's in the middle of something that's, you know, kind of significant at the moment, which is I don't know why all of a sudden we ended up
in the echo chamber.
Alderman Hopkins is here, and he's the one that's got caught up in the middle of this whole Lincoln Yards thing. And I think most Chicagoans, hell, I used to live in that neighborhood. I lived in a place where I could throw a baseball to where this Lincoln Yards thing is, and I couldn't tell you what the hell's going on there. I don't even understand it myself.
$6 billion project, certainly.
Right.
Wow.
So he'll explain why this is so controversial. That's coming up a little bit later on. And then, you know, and Paul's going to tell us who's going to go with right there.
Good.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
It's quite a lineup.
Yep. Quite a thing.
You'll have to stay tuned.
It always is. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will, Anna. No question.
Because you never know what's going to happen on this program.
I know.
Yep.
By the way, how are you guys doing?
Well, I would say with this type of weather, I mean, Ro, you cannot complain today. Can you? Is it possible to complain today?
No. I even said, now, we are welcoming this week, we are welcoming our new traffic reporter, Lauren Lapka, to the show.
Yes.
And Lauren came in today to start training, and she was like, okay, so where's the Starbucks?
And I know, that's always the first question in a new place.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to find here. You have to sort of go under the tunnel and pop up near the Aon building, and it's a little complicated.
Right. You make your traffic reporters go out and get coffee for you.
She doesn't know that yet.
So. Yeah, I didn't. I said, well, mean. I'll show you where the Starbucks is.
Very mean.
Yeah. She went to two Starbucks today because our program and news director. Stephanie took her to the indoor one, and then I said, hey, you've been to the indoor one. Let's go to the outdoor one where you have to leave, because it's the first nice day.
Right.
Yeah.
First nice day of the year today. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. It's not bad. And tomorrow, now it'll rain in the morning. It'll scatter up as the day goes on for a while, and then it comes back again tomorrow night. But I think we're going to break above 60 tomorrow. And if we do that, that'll be the first time that's happened since Halloween, which would be nice. It'd also be the first time it's happened this year.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we've looked, something like 28 of our past 148 years have had a 60 by now. So this is not a done deal that, you know, you're going to have 60 by this date. But we're going to do it, apparently, and then up to 68 on Thursday.
Okay, so tomorrow you said 60 or 61, something like that?
Yeah, 61.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then 68 on Thursday. But yesterday you also issued a proviso. Which, east or west? I'm not sure which.
Well, this storm coming out of the Rockies is a blockbuster. This may be the lowest pressure ever to go into Kansas in 40 years. That's where the center of the storm will be. Now, you might say, well, what difference does that make? There's a relationship between the central pressure and the winds. So this thing on its backside is going to produce a blizzard from Denver up to Rapid City and through Nebraska. There could be some 70 to 80, even 80-plus mile-per-hour wind gusts in that blizzard area.
So big whiteout area.
Big whiteout area.
So if you're traveling by car up into the northern plains, you won't be able to handle it.
No. But on the east side of it, it's setting up this low-level jet right from Louisiana and eastern Texas right up to Chicago. So we've got ourselves a storm-related conveyor belt for this tropical air that's going to pump these temperatures up, and that's the best way to do it this time of year.
So it's going to be New Orleans air, so it's going to smell like it's going to smell like crawfish and human waste, because that's basically what the French Quarter smells like.
But they have some great restaurants down there, too.
Oh,
so,
the best.
You know, I mean, you know, we'll
they
have
to.
The you best know, odor of the world. Cajun cooking coming up here.
Yeah. Could you, if you go to New Orleans, and I think New Orleans is my favorite city in North America, but if you go to New Orleans,
yeah.
you the first time you're there, you're like, oh my God. Yeah. Oh God. What is that? Because it's the oldest sewer system, theoretically, in you know the Americas,
yeah.
right?
It's yeah. like,
it's what
it's
it is.
And they bury their dead above ground.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah.
And just in case they come back to life. And yeah. so there is like a whole...
Is that why that
yeah,
was done?
I they do realize. That. Yeah, they do it uh-huh. like that because they because quite honestly, they're a little shoddy about that.
Well, they're at sea level, I think, is another issue.
Yeah, that might be it. But they yeah. also, yeah. if they're really drunk, they might appear to be dead, but then you just don't want to, you know, you want to be able to push that thing off the top of the grave and then get out. Anyway, the point is this. This is not why I call.
No.
When you get there the first time, you're like, oh my God, what is that smell? And then you go to the first restaurant there and you're like, oh, this is so delicious. And yeah. you get over the fact that the town smells like poop.
Yeah, and that you're looking at a wall that's holding back the water.
Well, it's such know? A blend yeah. of culture and history,
oh,
and
amazing.
It's all found
it
in
is.
The food. And
it's
it,
gorgeous.
Oh, gosh.
I remember, they, you know, since there's a French theme to the cooking and all, I remember I had some seafood dish in a bag down there, which is really great. I mean, it was just absolutely delicious.
But they shook it up with, like, some spices or something?
Well, they baked it in a...
in a bag, so like a fish in a bag?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. And it was... It was yeah. really great. I can't. It's so many years ago. I can't remember what it was exactly.
And I'll eat things down there. I will not eat anywhere else. And I don't know why I'm doing it.
Like crawfish.
Yeah. Right.
It's and one of those.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to suck the head off that boy. And I'm like, what?
Sure. Why
I gotta
not?
Do what?
yeah.
I make a good étouffée. I'll have to make it sometime.
Oh, that mm-hmm. would be very great. So yep. I do. It is great. But now we're so it's going to smell like New Orleans when it gets here. That was the point. And it's. Is this going to rain all day on
no.
Thursday?
No, no. In fact, it'll come in waves. There'll be some in here later tonight, a few in the next couple of hours, and then more constant stuff later tonight, and perhaps the first hours of tomorrow morning. Then by late morning and afternoon, not that the rain will totally be gone, but there ought to be dry and rain-free periods without it, giving us a chance to enjoy the 61 without having, you know, to be rained on after the morning rains. So it'll be nice. And the wind will be coming up tomorrow, but you know, they're in the 10 to 22 mile per hour range, so nothing to write home about. And then tomorrow night, a scattered showers and thunderstorms will pick up again. They'll come through in little waves, not be continuous. And then a cold front comes through early Thursday afternoon, so we're outlook for a marginal risk of severe weather, and a lot will depend upon how many of these thunderstorms develop along that cold front.
Because it's going to drop like 30 degrees, isn't it?
Well, you know what will happen is when that goes through, we get dry slotted is the term in meteorology.
Very painful.
That's
where we
it
get.
It does sound painful.
If you look at a storm on the satellite, it's a comma-shaped thing, and there's this like intrusion of dry air. That's right where the jet stream is shooting into the storm, and we'll get into that feature. It's a rain-free, precipitation-free area, but it's also very, very windy. And so essentially, we'll be sitting later Thursday under the underbelly of a jet stream without any rain. That will have shut off. But there may be some active, if not severe, thunderstorms in spots Thursday morning and early afternoon before that dry slot gets in here. And that's a place where, if you look at the winds three-dimensionally, they kind of dive out of the jet stream down to the surface, and you get some really strong winds there. So we may have some 50 to 60 mile per hour wind gusts
on
outside
Thursday.
The thunderstorm later in the day. Yeah, and
then it gets
gets much cooler,
right? Like it's in the upper 30s, right?
Yeah, but you know
what are the now we got two big parades this weekend.
Oh yeah,
and we got Dye the River too. We got a lot going on.
But you know what? It won't be bad. You know, a lot of clouds Saturday, peaks of sun, and Sunday up to 47. And you know it's interesting. If you look out
Southside
over
Irish Parade. All right, now the question for that parade, Southside Irish Parade. Is the question of downwind. How strong will the winds be?
They'll be running about west to northwest, and I would imagine 11 to 23 will be the range.
Okay, so yeah. I want to stand up. You want to stand upwind in case somebody loses it.
Anna, he really
thinks these things through.
I was going to say, he really, you know, is a detail man. You know, there's no question about it.
Well, and there's always a guy who looks like he's like looking for a bathroom but can't find one, and he's just decided. Because he already... by 9 o'clock in the morning, he's already had a six-pack.
And multiple pounds of corned beef.
Yeah,
I thought they cleaned that one up now, the South Side. Yes. It's family-oriented now.
Right. Isn't that right, Kev?
Oh, yes, totally.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure, they've cleaned it up.
It's different.
Cabbage and corned beef. I love
it. I was just invited to...
And potatoes.
Mm. Oh, the best. Mm. I was just invited to an outdoor... They do an outdoor mass for the South Side Irish Parade.
Before it kicks off kind of thing?
And that's at 8 a.m. I'm like, I don't know if
good
I...
Good luck.
I got, you know, I'm sorry, Padre. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make that, but I'll do my best. But that is... I mean, nothing screams Chicago like that. And imagine this... Those two parades this weekend.
Wow.
Which, you know, the St. Patrick's City of Chicago, St. Patrick's Day Parade, which is just an amazing thing. And then the tie, the dying where the Plumbers Union goes out and dyes the river and all that.
Yes.
Super cool.
It really is.
Really cool. Is a great moment. It's, you know, and then there's a fugitive who runs through the parade. You know, there's like there's always that.
I remember that, the day that happened. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
They had a movie crew running through there, and you thought, what in the world's going on here? Because there's enough action going on anyway.
It's really true. But,
yeah.
I mean, you don't know what's actually going on.
No, and here comes this movie crew chasing, what's his name?
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford. As he ran through the downtown. Yeah.
I'm such a stickler for tradition in this town. I really would like them to move it back to Dearborn Street. It's on a Saturday. I know it's on Columbus, right? And that's like the whole thing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And Columbus is, you know, it's pretty, but I love the idea of the canyon. You know,
true.
Like where you've got that sense of you're really in the middle of a city. And
oh, it's really true. When I was broadcasting, man, they had me do it for several years, and we were right down by Daily Center Plaza down there.
Yeah, it's so super cool when it goes by.
It is.
And it's like
it's very cool,
and it feels like a really urban parade. You know, when it's out on Columbus, you might as well be in Columbus, Ohio. I mean, it's sort of like just doesn't feel.
It does feel weird.
It doesn't
feel really there.
Yeah, because and then it looks totally empty, which it's not.
You know, Ro, there are probably business considerations. I'm sure that's what it is.
Yeah, it's a Saturday, Tom. The city, the government, all the main stuff on Dearborn anyway is between city, county, and federal government, right?
See, Anna, he's thought this out.
I am.
Really. Yeah, watch out. He's going to get in front of the right people and be like, no, it needs to be on Dearborn.
Right. I've been, you know what? I'm going to hold my endorsement back. Until Preckwinkle and Lightfoot tell me that they're definitively going to move the
parade back
to Dearborn.
Yeah,
I know there's some security concerns about that, but I mean they do a really nice job securing the thing anyway.
They do,
and it is a very remember Columbus Day Parade goes down State Street every year.
Yeah,
they you know they were like
that's not on Columbus.
No, and then they went right exactly. Even the Columbus Day Parade won't go on Columbus. Now think about that for a second.
Yeah,
I think that should be in your detail sheet.
Yeah,
it is true that the security for all of our parades is really spectacular. You know, and they like Streets and Sand puts trucks on each of the streets so that you know somebody can't drive into the parade area.
Down to a science, isn't
it? There's a lot of
figured things out.
Passive things we're not thinking about that are going on there. It's great.
It is.
And it's one of the great, to me, it's one of the happiest days of the year in Chicago because March is always fun for me because it's like it's over. Like winter, even if it's still kind of lingering, it's over.
It is. Yeah. There are definite signs that things, people are already sending in pictures of little sprouts coming up, out of the ground. So the plants have figured it out despite the chill.
Yeah, right.
So
they always do, except for the trees downtown that don't bloom until July because they're like, I'm not getting out of this.
They're like, we know what happens here.
Yeah.
That's why I won't get out of bed till the crack of noon. All right. Thank you, Tom.
Ro, appreciate it. To talk to you too,
see
Anna.
You tomorrow.
See you too,
later,
Tom.
Guys. All and bye to Kevin.
Goodbye, Tom.
Goodbye, Kevin. All right, let's check. Hello, Kim. What's in the
Hello,
news?
Hello, Ro. State universities not at the top of the list for Illinois high school grads.
When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV.
He just did say. And it's going to be a wacky day here on Thursday, but it's going to be 68 at one point.
High of 60 on Thursday, high 61 on Wednesday. Then some goofy stuff moving around.
Yep. I like
that.
The winds. 60s. 60s.
Feels so good. Even today feels so good.
I think we have better weather here than out in Phoenix. Both the White Sox games canceled. It's rainy and cool there. I think we had better weather here in Chicago.
It's been a while since you could say that.
Yeah. We're making progress, people.
We're getting there.
Sort of.
Turning a corner.
Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 yes. WGN. All right, it's
look what we have here.
We're calling today Aldermania on the show because it's all about city government, and it's we're gonna have two aldermen before it's all said and done.
Right.
And now Paul Vallis, mm-hmm. who ran for mayor, you've been one of the first guys in, been
right.
A longtime figure in Chicago education and politics and all of that, and now here he is. About to tell us who he will support for mayor of the city of Chicago. Is it a Tony Prankwinkle or is it a Lori Lightfoot? And Paul,
oh my God,
just tell us right now
who's your
is.
Choice.
I thought I was like the halftime show. You do realize just to show you how far the mighty have fallen is I'm following the annual or the monthly soybean report. All right, so that's
that's true.
That's it. Thank you very
October
much.
What happens?
I'm just here for comic relief.
Mm-hmm.
No, look. I said at the beginning of the campaign and throughout the course of the many forums I attended that I could not support someone who had entered the race after Rahm Emanuel dropped out.
You did.
And you know, having Lori Lightfoot in the finals, so to speak, or in the runoff makes it an easy decision for me. So, you know, so I'm supportive of Lori. You know, I think having participated in over 30 forums with her, I believe she has the skills, the judgment, and the courage needed to stand up to the special interests and to make the critical decisions needed as mayor. Those decisions needed to address the, you know, the priority issues that the city's facing. Now, whether that helps her or hurts her, I don't know. You know, I certainly haven't discussed with either candidate issues of who I would support or not support. I mean, people have been asking me my opinion, and I feel, you know, obligated to state it, but I'm certainly not instructing people. You know, people have said, you know, just because we generate a certain number of voters during the course of the campaign, you know, individuals who supported me will make their own judgments.
Sure.
And they'll weigh the candidates just as they weighed the candidates when they selected me and voted for me. So at the end of the day, I've been in plenty of forums with Lori, and I think she's the real deal. And I think the fact that she has had such a, I believe, distinguished career in the legal field, mm-hmm. Shows that she's a pragmatist, that she's not an ideologue. I refer to her as a principled public servant who is not an ideologue, and I think she'll take a pragmatic approach to getting the city on the right track and moving in the right direction.
Her campaign ads that are you see them everywhere now. They're talking about how independent she is, how she'll stand up to the machine. She's the only candidate who can do that. That she's the true progressive in this race, and that she'll truly be transformational for the city. Do you believe that?
Yes, absolutely. And you can't underestimate, when people talk about her background, her ability to work her way up through a legal profession that has not always been friendly to women. Mm-hmm. I think that in itself has been a unique accomplishment. And I think that's a testimony not only to her abilities, but also her pragmatism. And I think she's clearly, having participated in well over 30 forums with her and having had an opportunity to talk to her between those like 90-second questions or these 90-second answers, sometimes 60-second answers, and, you know, having watched her respond under fire. And it's I didn't need any meeting with her to decide whether or not to support her. I said from the beginning that I couldn't in good conscience support anybody who entered the race after Rahm Emanuel, and given the fact that that Lori's in the runoff makes it a very easy decision for me.
Is that your only concern about Tony Prankwinkle, that she got in late?
Well, you know, I think I have concerns that it's important that the city be led by somebody who can make a clean break with the past. And this isn't taking away anything from Tony. You know, I think Tony, you know, could be an effective mayor, too. I just think there's a greater likelihood for real substantive change with somebody like Lori Prankwinkle. Lori Lightfoot. Here,
I'm
getting the best of both.
I know. You know, here's the problem. We have never had a four-letter but with an O in the middle and then an I at the end.
Uh-huh. Especially.
Yeah, choose your own consonant.
Especially someone who is as linguistically challenged as me.
Yeah, so. But here we are.
During the course of the campaign, I was not one of the attack dogs who would constantly be going after Tony. And I think Tony in many of those forums was being attacked by three or four candidates. In fact, sure. On a number of occasions, I came to her defense to point out some of the flaws in the other candidates who were criticizing her. I think she's done an effective job with the county. Certainly, there are some fundamental differences that I have with her on issues of public safety and others. But at the end of the day, you know, I think she's managed the county effectively. And, of course, her last budget was a budget that did not require any major increases in taxes or fees. So I think she's been an effective steward at the county level. But I really believe that you need someone in the mayor's office who is totally divorced from the organization and the machine, and has demonstrated the courage to stand up to the status quo. And I think she certainly did it with her performance. In her capacity in terms of police reform, and I'm not saying I agree with everything that Lori has embraced. There are many challenges that the police department faces. Clearly, implementing the consent decree is one of those major challenges. I don't see any major differences between the two candidates on public safety. But I've seen Lori talk about the need to strengthen the detectives division and her open mindedness. When we've talked about issues like the police academy, for example, and I've talked about the way the police academy could potentially be monetized so that it could actually generate income to pay for the operation of the academy, so that taxpayers would not have to foot the bill. I think there's been I don't want to speak for the candidate, but there seems to have been an openness on those type of things. But I just think right now we need somebody who has demonstrated the ability to buck the establishment, who has demonstrated
the ability. But doesn't the establishment start to eat you at that point? I mean, you've been in this a long time. You've seen this from both sides. What, inside and out, what, if you want to come in as a reformer, there's famously, the city has often said, this place ain't ready for reform. Nobody won. Nobody is sent. Nobody's sent. Is there really a way to do that effectively, do you think? And without a lot of, gigantic sort of wholesale firings and changes at City Hall?
Well, I've always felt that the system can be reformed without going in and making those type of personnel decisions. Look, I took over to Chicago Public Schools when they had a $1 billion structural deficit, and they were considered. Remember, Bill Bennett had come to town. He was the education secretary before many people in the city were born. Anyway, he had called the schools the worst in the country, and within 6 years we were a national model. And I'm not suggesting we solved all the problems, but clearly there was a change in attitude and culture. The relationships between administration and the unions had never been better. What happened? Did I do a massive purging? I cleaned house on the financing side, but the bulk of my team was promoted from within. There were quality people within that system who knew how the schools work, who knew education, who knew how to run schools effectively. And to a certain extent, I used to say that I emancipated the bureaucracy, so to speak. In other words, I went in and I promoted people in the positions of responsibility. So I don't think you have to go in and do a wholesale changing. I've articulated a number of things that the mayor could do unilaterally that change the culture. I mean, you don't have to legislate against aldermanic privilege. You could just eliminate it. You don't have to legislate restrictions on what these politically appointed board members can do in terms of hustling business from the very institutions that they're presiding over. You can just, through executive order, make a decision to do that. I mean, so many things, even the allocation of TIF money or TIF reforms, a lot of things that can be done through executive authority. I think the mere fact that she did challenge the establishment, she did run as a maverick candidate, that she ran against all odds, that she ran in this huge field, that she, that in many cases she wasn't endorsed from many of the establishment types, and indeed she was disparaged by many, is just a sign that when she comes in, she's going to, having achieved this position by really running as an independent reform candidate, I think the momentum will be there for her to continue along that way. And I think that, I think she can do a lot of things through the mayor's office. The mayor's office is an extremely powerful position.
It is.
And she can do a lot of things just through executive authority. And she has the smarts and the wherewithal and the courage to do that. So I think she's well positioned to be a very effective mayor. And I think she'll hold true to her independent principles.
Top three issues facing the next mayor, Paul Vallas. How would you rank them?
The overriding issue is financial, because everything emanates from our inability to get a hold of the city's finance, to get a handle on the city's financial crisis. And because that impacts everything. So when you talk about the top three issues, finances. you've got to lay out a comprehensive financial plan that will that will stabilize the finances, address the pension issue, and transform the budget. And remember, I've said this over and over again, the city doesn't control, the city budget isn't a $9 billion budget, it is a $20 billion budget. It's the airports, it's the schools, it's the CHA, it's the CTA, it's the park districts, it's the enterprise funds.
Right.
It's an enormous budget, and that budget can be an investment vehicle.
So, okay, now, the Preckwinkle people will tell you, and she'll tell you, that, you know, she runs whatever it is, like a between a $6 and $9 billion, depending on how you want to break up the money,
mm-hmm.
budget, and it is in the black. And the city can't make that same argument.
Well, you know, it's in the black, and I think they've made some tough decisions.
Yeah.
And, you know, one can argue that, you know, one can certainly take issue with some of the decisions that have been made in the past. But, I have the confidence that someone, you know, because remember, before Tony Preckwinkle became county board chairman, she was an alderman. And she certainly didn't have that breadth of administrative experience, or, mm-hmm. you know, she didn't have that type of experience in budget management and budget
right.
prioritizing and things like that. So the bottom line is, I think she brings, Lightfoot would bring to the mayor's office that those same talents,
okay.
that intellect, that understanding, that judgment, that ability to surround themselves with good people.
Are you mm-hmm. surprised how what a distance the polls are showing right now between Lightfoot in the lead and Tony in second place?
You know, I'm really not. I mean, look,
and there are polls, I understand, but they're snapshots, but it's pretty dramatic.
Yeah, it is pretty traumatic, and I think it may be closer than the polls indicate, but I still think that there is clearly the city wants change. Look, I mean, Bill Daley spent what, $4 or $5 million on TV advertisement, and he never moved by 1 or 2 percentage points above, I don't know what he got, 12%. You know, clearly the city wants change, and I think it's unfortunately for Tony, but in many respects, she's really running as, or she's viewed by many as the incumbent
got
here,
it.
And mm-hmm. and they don't see real change happening with her.
All right, Paul Vallis says Lori Lightfoot
should be the next mayor.
All right, we're counting noses right now. your buddy, who we love here, is one of the originals for us, Dr.
Willie Wilson.
I know you guys go to basketball games and stuff together. At least there was a picture of you, sitting courtside,
and you were holding hands at one point
yes,
too.
Very
you really
nice
bonded.
That he came out for Lori last week.
Yeah, he did.
You got a lot of people who were in the race who were coming out for Lori, which I think is kind of interesting because you guys all spent a lot of time together.
Yeah.
So I think that tells us
that
something
does tell
too.
You something.
Paul, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks
really
for
appreciate
me.
It very much.
Thanks, Paul.
Let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the news? Top of the hour.
Row, the pressure's on to ground more Boeing 737 MAX 8s.
Row Concho with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN.
Could have gone to Stanford, Row. Could have gone to Stanford.
I'm telling you, man, this is my mother's been blowing up my phone. I told you.
See?
She was so mad at me about not getting into Northwestern my entire life.
Uh-huh.
I've been photoshopping my face onto Khalil Mack's body and submitting him to all the major football programs around the country.
I'm sure that'll work.
I can help you out, coach.
I love that, though. There were actual situations where kids who had never played a sport were photoshopped onto the athletes' bodies. They have some of the kids were pictured on the rowing machine. They had never rowed before, but they were supposed to convince them that they should get in on their rowing abilities.
And they're on the crew team.
Oh, my God. It goes farther than you can ever imagine.
This is just ridiculous.
I love this.
If they only knew that Jen could run 100 miles in a day.
I know. I like to Photoshop.
Right.
I
yeah.
Photoshopped my head on Jen's body. Look at me.
I was there.
I did 100 miles last weekend.
Yeah, that's easy. You could do that.
Yeah.
Why didn't you go to Harvard? Did you go to Harvard? I'm sorry. If
me?
In case you did, yeah.
No, I went to Purdue.
Boiler up.
Good school.
Wow. This is we're turning a very Purdue-centric show around here.
Yeah.
That's how this goes. All right. All right. Can we?
Let's start. Yeah.
Let's do this. Because that's our first story.
Oh.
It's the top five on the Rokon Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one. Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number five.
It's being called the largest college admissions scandal ever, prosecuted by the Department of Justice. 50 people have been charged in the scheme, which involved wealthy parents bribing college insiders to get their kids into top schools across the country. Kids were being set up and as recruited athletes, even though many of them had zero athletic skills.
None.
Zero.
Yep.
So U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling says that parents, including the CEOs and actresses, were, quote, the parents of wealth and privilege. 33 parents in this have been charged. Of the 50 charged, 33 are parents. They're coming down hard on the parents.
Yeah, and other than, you know, they've got the Lori Loughlin and the Felicity Huffman, there are, you know, top director at CAA, the talent agency. There's like a hedge fund guy, major investor. I mean, people who, you know, are leaders in their field and known within their circles, even if they aren't household names.
These are parents who paid anywhere from $200,000 to $6.5 million to guarantee. Now, if you have to spend $6.5 million to get your kid into a good school.
How bad could it be?
Yes. That kid should not be. That is. And if you're a CEO and spending $6.5 million, short the company.
To facilitate the scam, Singer counseled parents to take their children to a therapist and get a letter saying that because of purported learning disabilities or other issues, the child needed additional time to complete the ACT or the SAT. Once the companies that administer those exams had agreed to the extra time, Singer arranged for the child to take the exam individually with one of the proctors he had bribed, or one of the administrators he had bribed, either at a location in Houston or a location in California.
The therapist angle is pretty perverse, isn't it?
Well, now, that part is not unusual.
What?
That part is not...
If your kid has no special needs, why do you need special privileges in order to take a test and have a special therapist? It doesn't
right. I think you would find that part, which is not illegal, to go get your kid diagnosed as having test anxiety or something, that's done a lot so that the kid doesn't have to take a time test.
But in this case, it was done so that the proctor who was being paid
could change
your scores,
yes,
or have someone else sit for you who was not you.
That part would be fraud. That would be what it's mail and wire fraud here is what they're charging these people with. And so, yes, that part would be fraud. Although, if they had never used a phone or written it down or put anything in the mail or the internet, they'd have been just fine. If they just sent it to somebody in person.
Check with Mike Monaco on that.
Yeah, I did.
Underneath the LTRAX, people, that's where all business exchanges need to be made.
And you got
to
cover your mouth while you're saying it.
Exactly.
And then you hope the other person hears it right. Wait, who'd you want me to whack?
Oh, gosh. Oh, gee.
Tony or Paul?
Tommy or Timmy? Was it Tommy or Timmy? I don't know. Which one was it?
Both?
That's when you actually get to the whacking part, and you're like, I don't know. Oh, God.
Oh, gee.
Oh, geez. I thought it was Timmy. It was Tommy. Which, by the way, is exactly what the Southside Irish Parade is going to sound like on Sunday.
Yeah, within 1 hour of it starting. Maybe an hour before it starts.
Which one's Tommy and which one's Timmy?
Where's Mary Pat at?
Wait, there's more.
With respect to the SAT and ACT scheme, numerous parents paid Singer between $15,000 and $75,000 to have someone either take the exam for their child, mm-hmm, or to correct their child's answers afterward, all to achieve a sufficiently high pre-agreed score on those tests.
Pre-agreed to score.
Again, if my mom knew this was possible,
she would have been all over it. What gone are the days when, like, wealthy parents could just make a sizable donation to a prominent university,
yes,
at the time their child was applying?
Build a statue. Yeah.
As the New York Times reminds us, Jared Kushner's father did for him. $2.5 million to Harvard just as he was applying.
Wow. This whole
But that's
story,
legal.
This
is illegal.
This makes me so mad. Like, I just feel like, why did I have to work so hard? And why do I have all this student loan debt when... Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It does make you mad.
Yeah.
It does matter.
It does, because it's taking away. It's so fiercely competitive to get any of these spots. The kids who don't, it makes you feel as if the kids who don't have any sort of privilege or money or parents with special jobs, that they their shot is just reduced to almost nothing, and that these spots are taken by people who obviously don't deserve them.
Pretending to be
faces on athletes,
right? Pretending to be lacrosse players.
That's the one where you kick the ball, right?
Yeah. Close enough.
That's a sports ball.
How much was Purdue when you were there?
Oh, gosh. It was out-of-state tuition.
Right.
I don't know. I walked out with only about $20,000 from there.
That's not bad from Purdue.
No. It was the Masters that really hit me. So,
where'd you get your Masters?
Roosevelt, here in downtown Chicago.
There you go. Well, you are overqualified.
This is a very educated team here.
Yeah, it really is. I think we're all overqualified for what
we're
doing.
We should all take SAT, see how we do.
Yeah, most guys, when I got into radio, most guys I knew who were in radio never graduated from high school.
Uh-huh.
Some of them not even eighth grade.
Creepy radio guy. He definitely never got through high school.
Yeah, but millennials can't get jobs without masters right now, and then it's just like, oh, we'll still pay you $5 an hour. So,
right.
I digress.
Who had the double latte? All right, checking in at
number four.
Tony Breckwinkle, Lori Lightfoot once again disagreed while speaking at the Tribune editorial board on how much power aldermen should wield over permits and zoning. This is that prerogative issue, aldermanic prerogative,
mm-hmm.
which makes them basically the mayors of their wards, right? Here you go.
There's no doubt in my mind that in the coming days, weeks at the most, we're going to see a series of indictments that come down from my former colleagues at the U.S. Attorney's Office, and it is going to center around this issue of aldermanic prerogative. We need to be on the right side of history on this issue. And again, it's not that aldermen won't be able to perform many functions to be the advocate for people in their wards. It's not that aldermen won't be able to weigh in on liquor licenses and other mundane things. But no alderman should have that kind of power where people feel like the only way that they can get basic city services and get business done in a ward is to kiss the ring of the alderman.
Who the hell said that? Where did she come from?
Who sent her?
Wait. Hey,
that's not the way things
are
done.
Hold on a second. What the?
There's so many conflicts, aren't there? I mean, you just couldn't go through the list, and the feds are sort of enlightening us to some of the issues that do exist or reminding us of what they are. Incredible.
Wait till Timmy and Tommy find out about that. What's going on? Here is Tony Preckwinkle.
It's true that we've had some challenges with people who've misused their power. That's always going to be the case in any human enterprise. But aldermanic staffs and aldermen work hard to serve their constituents. And if you in every election, they have to stand before their constituents and seek re-election. I mean, there's a process in place, namely an electoral process, to give people an opportunity to make corrections if they think that their alderman is not performing. And that's what we call elections.
That was, I think, Kristen McQuarrie at the Tribune editorial board's question to them about, you know, this whole idea of what's your relationship with city council going to be, which is an important one to define. And Lori said she wanted a strong, independent city council. Tony felt that you should be part of the mayor's vision, but also believe that, you know, as she just laid out there, that if you're electing your alderman, that they should answer to you.
That's right.
That's right. That's what right. you want.
In other words, you mean you have to answer to them. I mean, you know this. You
yes.
know this firsthand. You've got family that gets involved in this in developing things and starting businesses. If you don't get the alderman to be on your side, it's trouble.
Well, they can veto it in a nanosecond. And, you know, we've seen also they can go against the will of the people in their ward if they'd like to greenlight something, too.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Hey.
Hey.
Timmy and Tommy, I need you to go fix something for me. Which one of you is Timmy and which one of you is Tommy?
Important to figure out after that under the L conversation. You kind of got to know that.
Mary Pat told me we should do this under the L, and I'm like, I don't know. Which one's Timmy? Which one's Tommy? I don't know.
Who are you going to whack?
Johnny?
Johnny? Classic mix-up.
Where did Johnny come from? Well, call Joe and ask him what to do. All right, here we go. Hold on. Let's check in now with Kim. What's happening in the news? That's not a mob name. You never hear anybody named Kim.
Well, maybe you do in other parts of the world. I don't know.
Kim O'Gordon.
Yeah, exactly. Another formal mayoral candidate makes an endorsement.
When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV.
Top 5 continues. We've worked our way all the way to
number 3.
All right. So Michael Jackson's been a very hot topic of late, thanks to the HBO documentary Leaving Neverland, right? Almost everyone has weighed in now on what is going on there. Some people think it's a hit piece. Other people think it's a very worthwhile investigation. But now comes Mike Tyson. His thoughts on Michael Jackson.
It's wrong. It's wrong on both sides, you know. Whatever happened when they were kids was wrong, but what he's doing now is even wrong. Coming out, saying this stuff. It comes across that these are guys just out to get some money. You look at the situation. Listen, you have a young child, don't you? Say you have a 10-year-old, all right?
Yeah.
Will you just take your 10-year-old and some guy say, what's your 10-year-old name?
Julian.
Hey, Michael. Listen, I'm just feeling miserable, you know. I need Julian to come over here and make me feel better. I need to talk to Julian. Julian makes me feel a lot better. Can Julian come and spend the week with me, please? The parents have to be responsible for that shit.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. See, now, I'm going to tell you right now. I am not sending Julian over to Mike Tyson's house.
No.
Because Mike Tyson has a tiger, right? Mike Tyson has a face tattoo.
Like an unsafe environment.
A little bit of a temper.
Mike Tyson's a borderline cannibal. I mean, it's like, I don't feel safe. Now, I'll go over and hang out with Mike Tyson. I think Mike Tyson would be a fun guy to go hang out with.
Yeah, yourself. Right. Sure, but not your 10-year-old.
No.
Well, Britney Spears is now coming to Chicago because the Michael Jackson musical was canceled at the Chicago Theater. So in the fall, Britney Spears comes Once Upon a More Time. One more time.
Oh, God. What happens to her?
Once Upon a One More Time.
Okay.
Stage musical.
Got it.
About, set to the music.
About Britney Spears.
Yeah. Pre-Broadway world premiere here in Chicago in the fall. Because of Michael Jackson's musical getting canceled.
I got to just tell you, Mike Tyson scared me during that.
He kind of did. Haven't heard from him in a while. But I'm not sure why he needed to weigh in on Michael Jackson.
I've been on the edge of my seat waiting for Mike Tyson to weigh in on this. Finally. I'm like, where is Mike Tyson on the whole Michael Jackson thing?
Does he still have the face tattoo? I guess you can't really get rid of that easily.
I just thought the fact that these kids, Michael was telling them that if anybody knows about this, we're going to both go to prison forever. It was just really horrible. You know, I have an 8-year-old kid. I wouldn't let Michael hang out with my kid. I wouldn't let my kid go to Michael's house. I love Michael. You know what I mean? Michael had the reputation of this. It's like some people say, well, listen, you're Mike Tyson. I wouldn't let my daughter around you because you've been to prison for rape. I understand that. I respect that. I understand that.
Oh, God, this got dark.
It did.
Oh, man. Gee. And then, but how about that? How about if you're Mike Tyson and you have an 8-year-old and you send him over to Michael Jackson's house and the 8-year-old comes back and goes, Dad, something weird happened. Imagine Mike Tyson going over to Michael Jackson's house.
Gosh, that would be a reality show I'd watch.
Who at the door? That would be something right there.
Oh, hi, Mike.
That would be all over.
Terrifying.
Terrifying.
Totally.
Ow! Ooh! Ow! Ow! Jada!
Shimon. I never understood that. It's not a word.
All right. Are we moving on?
Let's do
it. I think we better.
Number 2.
Tucker Carlson railed against the liberal mob in response to the Media Matters report about his comments that he made on the Bubba Love Sponge radio show. This is from a decade ago, right? Tucker wasn't even at Fox when he did this. He
2008.
He was at MSNBC.
I have not heard
I love women, but they're extremely primitive. They're basic. They're not that hard to understand.
Oh. I have not heard this yet. And then.
Yeah. Wait, play that again for me.
Well, I love women, but they're extremely primitive. They're basic. They're not that hard to understand.
I'd say he was talking about a man.
Oh, my gosh.
That's sexist, Kim.
Yeah.
I'm offended.
Right.
Sorry.
True. Well, it's the first time in the history of anything that a man said a woman is not complicated. So.
Right. That's what everybody says about a woman.
So we should be praising him?
I don't know. It's opposite day or something. or 2008.
Here is these are his thoughts on Oprah.
Somehow, the rest of us have been bullied into pretending that Oprah's great, that she doesn't hate the that she's not anti-man, but she completely is. The subtext of every Oprah show is men suck.
Do you think that she's gay down to zero?
You know what? I don't know the answer to that. That would make me like her more. I got to be honest with you.
So,
oh, yeah, absolutely. I support that completely.
What did she do to Gail?
I didn't understand. What? Right.
Okay, they're just telling me. It would have been a sexual act. Oh, and now Gail King is like as powerful as they get. Go ahead,
she
Tucker.
Is.
You know what? I'm just going to go. I'm just going to move right along here.
Bye-bye, Tucker.
To what? No. You know what? Fox is going to is totally standing by him.
Yeah. I
that's
know.
That's the thing that
and
goes
maybe
on.
They should. I mean, I don't know if you go through all the people who are on all the cable newsers and you go back 10 years, would they all have something like this? I don't know.
I don't think so.
You don't
I've been
think
doing
so?
This a really long time, and I know I've never said anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. Pretty,
I think it's offensive for sure.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and I know people want to be like offensive, but just to. Draw attention, like, you know, people say things to Howard Stern or Bubba or stuff like that, just to
they do,
but just for any reason. But this is, come on, I mean, that's like hateful stuff. You know what George Carlin said?
Tucker sucks, and Tucker's friend Kyle
calls himself an out of the closet elitist. I don't pretend to be a man of the people.
Well,
really?
Mission accomplished.
Well done.
Number one.
But Stephen Colbert, think about getting a crafty.
There are new developments in the arrest of one of Trump's personal friends, New England Patriots owner and man at nursing home confirming he went, Robert Kraft. Kraft was in a Florida massage parlor where he was caught on camera getting, let's say, a hand employment. So once again... The Patriots are embroiled in a scandal involving deflated balls.
Oh! Oh, please!
The top five at five.
Get decked out for summer. Architect of Chicagoland wants to give you a deck. 12 by 16 foot rectangular deck built with TimberTech product. And no deck is complete without a place to sit. They'll include a three-piece cushion sectional with a fire pit table from American Sail, the Bella Collection. And Weber will also give you a grill, the Weber Spirit 2 Series grill from Weber, it says here. Can I mention Weber one more
Might
time?
Might as well.
Chicago
You're getting excited
company.
About grilling season.
I am. I'm already. Well, Kev already started his.
Yeah, I did last
yeah,
weekend.
Over the weekend.
Throw a little steak on there.
So here's what you do. You go to WGNradio.com/contest. You upload a photo of your backyard that needs a makeover, and you could win that whole package I just described, brought to you by Architect of Chicagoland.
Nice.
All right, it's Aldermania today. We can just it just continues on. I don't. It's crazy time. What's happening around here? And now we are very pleased and proud to be joined by a man who's as tired as I am because we were at the game very late last night. Alderman Brian Hopkins is with us, and everybody's talking about this. Came up in the mayoral election, Lincoln Yards. And I think most Chicagoans don't understand what's going on there because, first of all, we're making up a brand new place in Chicago because people go, what the hell is Lincoln Yards? They were at Lincoln Square, but Lincoln Yards is where the old Finkelsteel plant was, right?
On yes.
The near northwest side of the city of Chicago, so West Lincoln Park, right there at the river in Cortland. And can you explain, Alderman, what is so controversial about this?
Well, you know, actually, I would struggle to explain what's controversial about it. I think I know why it's controversial. But, you know, when you consider what we're trying to do, we're bringing 23,000 new jobs to Chicago, 10,000 construction jobs, a $5 billion project with a significant economic impact, new roads, new bridges, new parks. What's not to like about that? It's actually somewhat perplexing that I've been on defense for months now trying to explain this. But the opposition is real. It's organized. It's vocal. It's entrenched.
What does it want? What does the opposition want?
Is it congestion? Is
yeah,
that number one
you know,
issue that's cited?
That's hard to answer. I don't want to speak for them because in many cases, the opposition has told me some things that they do want, and I've done my best to deliver it. And in most cases, I actually have. and they just get even more opposed. So it's, you know, there's no pleasing somebody. They ask for more affordable housing, I double the amount of affordable housing on site. They ask for a park, I double the amount of open space and recreational space. You know, we've done just about everything we can possibly do, and yet the opposition is still as vocal as they've been. But I have to say this, and I'm going to, this is actually an announcement. I'm going to make some news right now.
Oh, boy, here we go.
I haven't revealed this yet. I did a poll last week. I conducted a poll. I used a reputable pollster, and this wasn't a push poll. This was an actual neutral attempt to gauge sentiment in my ward. 42% of the respondents favored Lincoln Yards. 27% were opposed. 18% were neutral. Those are remarkable numbers. I almost fell off my chair when I saw that. I did not expect the support to be that strong, since the opposition has really had the stage to themselves, and they've certainly had the megaphone for months now. I thought that my residents would have succumbed to some of the false narrative that the opponents have spun. But the fact that 42% of my voters are behind me after all the noise and fuss and heat, I'm ready to move on this. I want this passed now. I want Mayor Emanuel to sign it into law before he leaves office, and I'm going to stand by this. It's the right thing to do for the city, and I'm very proud of what we've accomplished despite the opposition.
The mayor's on board. He's made that clear. And there, I guess there are some who say that the next mayor should have the say on that, but there's a push to get this done.
There is. And the next mayor will, actually. This is a 10-year development project. It's going to take at least 10 years, probably more, when you think about it, all the types of structures we're talking about here. Three new bridges over the Chicago River,
and
major road alignments. And the new mayor, whoever she turns out to be, will certainly be a part of this, even if she inherits certain decisions that have been made.
So where are the bridges going to be? Are you going to replace the one at over Cortland at the river? What do you?
Well, yeah, actually, that's a good question. We're still trying to fight the battle over historic preservation for the two existing bridges at Cortland.
I don't want historic bridges. I'm sorry, Alderman.
It doesn't sound good. There's not a ring to that.
Opposite of what I want is an historic bridge.
We'd very much like to widen both of those bridges. We're about to undergo significant renovation of those bridges. They're over 100 years old and they're in bad condition, like most of our infrastructure is. But the Cortland Bridge, if you look at it, it really looks like a historic bridge. You could see it on a postcard. You understand why the preservation community really wants to keep that. The Webster Bridge, on the other hand, is not an attractive structure. It's purely utilitarian. Yeah. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to widen that one to four lanes without violating any sort of a sacred, you know, we'll take lots of pictures of
Again,
it so we can remember it. But
you know
it
what? Put it in a museum. If this is a bridge, there are thousands of people who cross it every day over a body of water.
Exactly.
You know, we should have modern when it comes to safety. Right? It'd be like United deciding, we're just going to fly DC-3s because, you know, those are historic and we should have them. Nobody wants that. So, I mean, I get that there's preservationists, and you can do something that makes it look like that, but that's not the point. It's a public safety issue. It's like saying, oh, we should bring back cobblestone highways or, you know, dirt roads. It makes no sense. All right, are you going to widen?
There's widening
of streets.
Yeah, we're widening Division. The Division Street bridges at Goose Island. We're about to embark on that project.
And is that related to this?
Well, it's not directly related. It's not being paid for as a part of the Lincoln Yards project. It's paid for on separate funding, and it had been budgeted for some time. But we're going to have two lanes in each direction, east and west, for both of those Division Street bridges, as opposed to the, you know, pinch point funnel that it is now. That will provide significant congestion relief when it's done. In addition to that, those three bridges I mentioned, you asked, where are they?
Yeah.
The first one we're going to build is Dominick Street. It's aligned. It's near Southport. It's a north-south road, and it will be a north-south bridge over the Chicago River. Think about that for a minute. It's the only chance in the entire length of the north branch of the river where you can have a north-south bridge.
Everything else is east and west.
There's a little bend in the river that location. So to have a north-south alignment to allow traffic to cross the river without having to jog to the east or west, a lot of value there to congestion relief. The other two bridges will be at Cortland, and then Armitage, and then Concord Street.
Okay.
So $6 million project, I'm trying to understand what exactly it is, because I do agree with Ro a lot. If you don't live in the neighborhood and you just see Lincoln Yards project, maybe you're not really concerned with the details. You said there's housing, so there's that. There's going to be, what is it, office space? There's entertainment areas or green space? Like what? It's 50 acres. That's a lot of land.
It is, and there's everything there. It's a classic mixed-use development. There will be high-rises. The height of the structures has been a source of controversy, and I freely admit that. You know, I'm an advocate for tall. I think, a tall structure. You know, in many ways, there's an economy of scale. It's dense urban living without taking up too much space. It's really the future of urban living.
And you're seeing that in Lincoln Park. You're seeing that all over the place. You're seeing the West, once they start allowing it to be West.
Right. And people downtown don't want to see the character change, and I understand that. But, Ro, you'll appreciate this because you're a Streeterville guy. If you look at the press clippings from the 1960s, there was a battle, a hardcore fight against the John Hancock being built on Michigan Avenue, and that was the argument. You can't put a tall building there. It will destroy the city. No one will want to live there. It'll be horrible. Well, now we have the John Hancock as the anchor of the Mag Mile, and it looks like it belongs there. It's perfect. It suits the neighborhood. Right. It suits the community, and it was a great addition to Chicago. But we had to overcome this idea that tall buildings must be confined to a very narrowly defined place, and they could never be built anywhere else. Once you make that decision as a city, you condemn yourself to negative growth. Other cities of the world will pass you up because they'll be allowed to build tall buildings in various places.
And we have,
and if we don't accept that, we're going to fall further and further behind.
And Alderman, we do have in the city, you have to give the, I know the Zoning Commission often takes a lot of flack for this, or the people who okay high rises, but they always want to make sure that the architecture matches. Right, that you don't have a jarring change in the architecture. Mm-hmm. As you're looking at the skyline, something goes like, where did that come from? Because they want to make sure that it fits in. And when people see the skyline of the city of Chicago, who are not from here, it is amazing to me how it's so different than New York. Because New York, great skyline, but it looks like a hodgepodge. Right, San Francisco, really interesting skyline, but also, you're like, what? That doesn't make a ton of sense. This skyline does, and because we've also had the great architecture firms here that have been, you know, together to make this city. And I've seen the plans for Lincoln Yards out, you know, the high rise piece. And again, there's a question: is it going to be 20 stories? Is it going to be? That's kind of the over under, right? Is like about 20 is like the question.
Well, there's bigger ones than that, actually. It started out with the tallest building at 800 feet. And I was at the community meeting. It was actually my community meeting in July of last year when that was first presented. And there was an audible gasp in the room when they heard 800 feet. You know, the murmur just went through the crowd. And you could see, you know, I was on the stage looking down and I could see the looks on people's faces. They were just like horrified at the notion of 800
feet. Well, people are worried about traffic. I used to live right in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And the traffic is it's a little wacky, you know, because you got Clybourne that cuts across, and when you have an angular street, it kind of screws up traffic patterns anyway. It's better and worse all at the same time. And then you've got you know, just limited streets. You're going to have to build more capacity into this. Although the best part of this is it's right off the expressway. Mm-hmm. And the idea that they were going to build like a soccer stadium there, that got killed, right?
Yes.
I love the idea of that. What happened to that?
And what's the entertainment? What entertainment is planned?
Well, there is an entertainment district that's being planned. It's substantially scaled down from what was originally there. In fact, they wanted to concentrate everything in one section of the Lincoln Yard site where you would have that soccer stadium, which had a capacity of 20,000, which is a pretty massive stadium, surrounded by these other entertainment venues of like a 10,000 to 12,000 seat capacity all around it. So we eliminated the soccer stadium and we told them you can have smaller venues scattered throughout the site. We don't want anything concentrated in one area. That helps alleviate traffic, and it really scaled back the scope of what this project was supposed to be, even though, as you said,
so you think you have a full compromise here, then?
That was a reasonable compromise, and frankly, I was the one that stepped forward and gave Sterling Bay the bad news. You know, I had made my decision they are the developers, and after months of community outreach and meetings and surveys, I conducted two surveys. Some of the neighborhood groups conducted their own surveys. It was clear the neighborhood was very adamantly opposed to the soccer stadium, primarily just because of what that would do to traffic. And the entertainment district got caught up in that, and there was some pushback from the entertainment venues as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the alderman needs some aspirin. I think that's what we have just learned right here. And a decision is going to be made here very soon,
Is it going through?
We may have anything a vote standing tomorrow in the way? City Council. It's scheduled for a vote. There's some parliamentary maneuvers that could prevent the vote from tomorrow. Okay. They can't stop
tomorrow
it.
Could
they
be
can
the
only
day,
delay
though.
It a week or two. And okay. It may or may not happen tomorrow. We'll see. But I believe we have the votes to pass this in City Council right now.
Okay. Alderman Hopkins, thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe, appreciate you being with us.
All right, let's check in now. Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
A former Illinois congressman back in the hospital.
the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. And we found out earlier today that Anna got into Northwestern by being on the crew team. Is that accurate?
Absolutely not.
No?
I had no help getting in. And by the way, I wasn't on the crew team. I was on the crew team when I studied abroad for a year.
Oh.
No big deal.
Oxford, no big deal.
Oh, at Oxford. Oh, I see. Very interesting.
Yes. I had no athletic gifts that I thought of initially. And then when I went to Oxford, they asked, you know, hey, you're tall, you're American, you might work. And then I worked my butt off and just had fun with it. But that didn't grant me any scholarship or any special privileges. I didn't. I just got in. I went to Lane Tech High School, and I was pretty amazed, actually.
So now, I just want to, before we leave this and get back to the real story, I just want to know, so you'd never rowed crew before, and then you somehow end up on the Thames rowing?
Well, but I wasn't part of the Blues. So there's a university team, which is the Blues, and they're, like, really, some of them are Olympians. There's usually one or two out of each boat every year that are Olympians. And then each college, because Oxford and Cambridge have a college system, each college has its own little crew team. And colleges are small. I had a small college. And so there's a first boat, there's a second boat, and it's a big social thing.
How did you throw yourself into that, though? It's like,
They had tryouts, and you had to get on the erg, and you do erg times, and you have to make a certain time, and then they have workouts with the team, just like they're recruiting.
I want to be the guy with the megaphone and the whistle. Is what I want to be. The
sunscreen on your nose,
exactly. Right. And the floppy hat. Right. I want that guy who's like at the. What do they call that guy?
Well, usually that's a coach, but you're talking about the coxswain, who's the
partner. You're a natural coxswain.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I've been called that before. Yeah.
How do you say it?
Coxswain, right?
It's, how you spell it? Coxswain, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be a coxswain.
Yeah.
It's coxswain. Fun. Yeah, you get to yell at everybody, and you're usually really tiny, so you yell at, like, people are a lot bigger than you.
God, that's a lot of trust, because they're directing where you're going.
And they can win or lose a race. I mean, there's a lot on their shoulders. They have to take the most direct path, and there are these bumps races. So bumps races, you have to virtually bump the boat ahead of you, until they concede, they know they're going to be bumped. So you've got to direct your boat to the point where they feel like they're in fear of being bumped.
Row! Row!
Is it stroke?
The whole time,
stroke.
Oh, I say row would even be better. See, that's where I should get
row!
The job.
Oh
as
my
a
gosh,
coxswain.
Are they talking to me again?
Yeah. Oh, look, they're, yeah.
They're mentioning my name.
Spectacular.
A lot of pressure on the coxswain.
What a coxswain. Let me just say that this is a little known fact in the history of Anna DeBlantis.
Yeah.
That you brought to you by Architect of Chicagoland.
Thank you,
all
Architect.
Right, so let's go back to this.
Well, let's
story.
Go back to it. And the newest thing that I've heard is that Felicity Huffman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was arrested with guns drawn by the FBI at her home at 6 a.m. The full Paul Manafort.
The full Roger Stone.
Roger Stone.
Paul Manafort.
Paul Manafort. They raided his house. The full, you fill in the blanks, really serious criminal.
Where's Roger Stone when you need him?
This morning at 6 a.m. And TMZ has that story. And she said, didn't have to be that way. I already knew that arrest was coming, but I would gladly surrender. And now they're showing William H. Macy going through at the federal building, going through the security, area where he's looking for Lauren, like he's going to pick up his wife. She's there.
It's always like Real Housewives type moms that are going to be getting taken away and dragged out of their homes for this.
He should be, Bill Macy should be in character from Shameless when he shows up, drunk, disheveled.
He always kind of looks that way, doesn't he?
And maybe, but kind of works his way out of it.
Shown up at the door with guns drawn. Seven FBI agents, seven of them went to her Hollywood Hills home.
All right, Felicity, you pretended that your son was a long snapper. Get on the ground. Get on the ground.
Don't get any ideas here.
Your kid can't pole vault.
Were they afraid that there was a pole, a vaulting pole used as a weapon inside the house, and that they had to neutralize the vaulting pole? What is the point of? I mean, I get it. I thought it was funny when they raided Roger Stone in the middle of the night, and when they raided Paul Manafort. So I got to find this funny too.
I guess, but it seems like a weird use of resources. I'm sure she would have turned herself in.
Right. So that's what Roger Stone said, and it was still more fun. Sure, fun to do.
Lori Loughlin is out of the country. She's flying in so that she can be arrested.
I would stay out of the country because the minute the plane lands, look at what they're going to do here. They're going to take.
And embarrass her at the airport.
It's going to be a full sell, is what it's going to be. That's going to be her next show. They're going to take her off and Uncle Jesse cannot help her in a situation like this. They're going to take her off the plane in handcuffs. Why are they perp walking these people? I mean, honest to God, this is, I don't understand the great felonious nature of this.
It's just more comical to me. The whole scheme of the thing.
Well, you always sort of suspected that wealthy and people of privilege had special privileges when it came to getting into colleges. Not that that's fair or right, and it's not a meritocracy, which it should be. Admissions really should be. But
I mean, none of this is surprising.
I guess
haven't we always assumed that there was some sort of elitist ring going on when it came to college
admissions?
That's what
she's saying. And now Donald Trump Jr. has weighed in. Did you see this?
No.
Yeah. They found
to make sure that everyone knows he didn't get in.
No,
that way.
He found it like he didn't. He found a tweet from Felicity Huffman that says, "What are your best hacks for back to school season?" That was kind of a mistake for her to tweet that. She tweeted that on March 12th. That's, I don't understand why that would... His retweet was March 12th. I don't know when she...
Yeah, I think that was from, 2015 or something.
Okay, so what are your best hacks for the back-to-school season?
Pay someone to take your child's SAT form.
So Donald Trump Jr. Retweeted with this comment, "I'm learning some new ones as we speak. Stay tuned." Now, here's the problem.
I'm not sure.
Everyone would assume that the Trump family would be involved with something like this.
The
New York Times already called out Jared Kushner, not according to this situation, but a couple of years ago did a story about this very thing, about donations to, Harvard and prestigious colleges at the time your child is in the admissions process.
Well, but this goes to the president himself. The president was going to Fordham, which is fine school, but it's not University of Pennsylvania. And then his dad... Right, the Fred Trump Sr. made a very large donation to the University of Pennsylvania. And as we will recall, Michael Cohen, this came up last week, in Michael Cohen's testimony, he said that one of the things he did was he had to call Fordham and threaten them not to release their Donald Trump's grades when he was at Fordham, Donald Trump Sr.'s grades. Now, just stop. And now all the kids have gone to University of Pennsylvania, including Tiffany, who does not look like she should have gone to the University of Pennsylvania.
You can't always judge by how people look, that's for sure. But I don't.
I do.
Well, see, this indictment, though, says that Felicity Huffman's daughter, she got twice the amount of time to take the SAT. And then the proctor was paid to secretly correct her answers afterwards. I mean, this goes beyond. Did anyone think this was happening?
I'm on the ground. Oh, God.
Seven feds at her door, guns drawn. Lori better get over here from whatever overseas environment she's in. She's going to have a pretty embarrassing situation at the airport.
Oh, it's going to be terrible.
And I'm sure TMZ will be there waiting. And we'll all get to see.
Oh, gosh. What is that? Oh, no.
Felicity Huffman.
It's broke.
This is the police. These are federal agents.
Turn yourself in.
There you go.
Thank you. We have your place surrounded. We're not quite sure how we got past the front gate anyway.
That's probably why you needed seven people. She had a pretty swanky Hollywood Hills home.
Do you validate before we take you into custody?
Seems like a bit much, but you got to do what you got to do. You got to stick to protocol,
I guess. Oh,
they made
on.
It happen. They got
Officer,
her in custody.
Turn your microphone off.
Without incident. Meantime, Stanford just fired.
Without incident. Whoa. Without incident. What the hell was she going to do? A standoff?
Well,
so make it into
isn't
Ruby
that
Ridge?
The whole point of showing
do?
Up and trying to do it in this way? Is that you fear that there might be some sort of...
Stand up. Excuse me, I am going to have to call Ari Emanuel on you.
She said she gladly would have surrendered on her own, but the feds saw it differently.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the way it
always
went down.
Yeah, it's a new thing. It's a new, whole new deal. I mean, honest to God, I know it sucks. I know it's like it's revealing a rigged system and the depth of the riggedness of it. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. But I'm telling the world is not a less safe place because Felicity Huffman tried to fake her son into, was it Yale? As a pole vaulter?
I thought one went to USC and...
Wherever they were going.
Yeah.
The daughters, I mean, are on the crew team, but they don't participate in crew, but they're on the crew team.
Yeah.
Right. So this is like... I mean, it's okay, I'm glad, fine. Let's arrest some people. A bunch of people are going to get fired. But really? I mean, rigging an election is one thing. Conspiring with an enemy, a sworn enemy of the state, of the United States of America, that's one thing. But... getting your by conspiring to get a cheat done on your kid's SAT is not a 30-year sentence. And they're saying, oh, this is very bad. Should go away for years. And I get it. It sucks. I mean, and, you know, to Jen's point earlier, you know, Jen worked very hard to get into Purdue, and then she's got all this college debt. And it does suck that, you know, if you've got privilege and wealth and all of that.
Well, you're taking taking the place of someone who deserved to be there.
Well...
yeah, I mean, these are limited. I mean, think about it. The hyper-competitiveness of getting into these schools. I mean, kids are stressed out of their minds trying to pass, do well on these tests and just get everything they need in order to have a shot.
We're putting too much emphasis on what's actually going to happen once they get to Harvard or Yale. Because at the end of the day, the deal is really that you went to school with these other people who are also going to be successful. That's the whole thing.
You have a network in place, I suppose, that can be helpful.
Because the education may not be all in the Ivies. I don't think it's all that different. Some of the smaller,
It's how you apply yourself, I think, right? And what you do with it.
Yeah.
But the president of Midwest Television is alleged in the indictment that her daughter was a pole vaulter, or her son pretended to be a pole vaulter.
He's a hell of a pole vaulter, Coach. He's never done it, but he's a hell of a pole vaulter.
You've got a nice shot of him supposedly pole vaulting.
Now, yes, all right.
Really
attempting to do it?
No.
That's not something you should attempt to do.
No, this is an amazing one. This is one where they morph the face.
It's terrible.
Because it's like they've got this kid, right, who's like a pole vaulter because he's like 15 or 16
who's in
years old,
perfect
17.
Condition.
And this guy looks like a 40-year-old athlete. but they put the face of this kid on the pole vaulter as he's going over the, you know.
Yes.
It's like he's like, at, you know, sort of mid up in the air part
he's
of the pole vaulting.
He's like 18 feet in the air.
Right. And it's a guy, the guy's built like a brick house, right? I mean, he's like, yeah, and it's a guy, oh yeah, this is our 17-year-old. No, it is not.
This is little Billy.
Because when Billy shows up although I guess they've also wired it with the track coach, right? Track and field
coach. Well, a bunch of coaches are already going down today.
Yeah.
I mean, Stanford
just fired a sailing coach who took money, but then the person never even went to the school. And
Wake Forest suspended their head volleyball coach. UCLA says their soccer coach been placed on leave.
Yeah, the Yale women's soccer coach. Did you mention that one?
Yeah.
Indicted.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a good look. Not a good look. Nearly a dozen college coaches.
Lori Loughlin's husband is Massimo? I had no idea.
Massimo, get on the ground.
Get your ass out here.
We have your place surrounded. Who's Massimo?
The designer. The guy who's like in famous, Target now.
Oh, Massimo.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that Massimo.
Right? So,
Massimo, I'm wearing your designer clothes right now, but still, please get on the ground or we will open fire.
Because I'm looking at their Wikipedia pages, and both Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin's Wikipedia pages now have this whole scandal written.
Oh, already updated.
Yeah, well, that happens immediately.
Your microphone's on, officer.
Sorry. I would like to know what happens when their Facebook page. Like, what do you do on your Facebook when you're, because you know, you're always humble bragging about what your kids are doing. Oh, kids just loving Harvard, right? I mean, so what are you doing there? It's not so good. All right.
Posting the pictures that have been photoshopped. Check out this pole vaulter I have.
It's totally wacky. All right, David Jennings is in the WGN newsroom. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Well, guess what? We could see Brexit put off for a year.
Rob Concho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
K-Pow.
has got some breaking Bears news that he just shared with us. And Adam Hoge is joining us, our Bears insider. And big stuff happening tomorrow, because tomorrow's the first day that we can sign people, right? When That's I say right. we, I don't mean me.
Yeah. 3 o'clock officially tomorrow. All these deals, everything you've heard the last 48 hours or so actually can all be undone. Nothing's
official.
They're
handshakes, basically.
Yeah, so 3 o'clock, everything's official, and that's when you'll start to see even more movement than we've seen.
Okay, former Patriots receiver Cordarrelle Patterson. Some Bears fans may remember. Did he have 2 kickoff returns against the Patriots when the Bears hosted them?
He had the Bears gave up 2 special teams touchdowns in that game, but one was on a blocked punt.
That's right.
Cordarrelle Patterson had the 95-yard kick return for a touchdown in that game.
I think it does. I like this, though. If Schefter's reporting it's about a $5 million deal, I don't know how many years it is, but it gives, I think, Matt Nagy some options. He's been in the backfield before. You can put him at receiver, and then obviously in the special teams game, right?
Yeah, first and foremost, it looks like it's going to be a 2-year deal, $5 million per year. We'll see if there's an out after 1 year. But I think first and foremost, this is a big upgrade at the kick return spot. Tariq Cohen's been really good returning punts, but last year you may remember they were cycling through guys like Benny Cunningham, and they had Anthony Miller there late in the year, but he had the shoulder, so they didn't really want him back there. This is a big upgrade. Probably the best returner the Bears have had since Devin Hester, to be honest with you.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Since most kickoffs are not returned now in the NFL, what's wrong with Tariq Cohen returning kicks?
Well, it's a fair point. That I wondered.
As opposed to punts. I've never understood that, because often there's a punt returner and then there's a kickoff returner. Shouldn't there just be one dude that does both?
And if you remember right, they did have him return that kick right at the end of the playoff game that got them in really good field
God,
position.
Don't even bring that up. How dare you bring up that final drive?
I'm supporting your point here, Ro.
But not that way.
Hey, how about Blewett, Hoge?
Okay.
Chris Blewett. Either of those kickers actually have a chance at being their full-time kicker, or are they not done in that department and bringing more guys in?
Well, they're not done. They have a chance, because it looks like to me this is going to be a wide-open competition with a lot of different legs, maybe a seventh-round draft pick, maybe a couple guys signed after the draft is over. Really the only big move that could be made to eliminate the competition altogether is if the Bears went out and signed Steven Gostkowski here from the Patriots in the next couple days.
I think it's safe to say that Robert Kraft is distracted, and that I think this is a great opportunity to strike while it's good, because Belichick is also wondering, was I ever there? Because, and then Belichick, he does the thing with the hoodie. Right. That's how we'll never know. He
wears the hoodie even in South Florida, walking into the Orchids of Asia Spa.
Yep, exactly.
I'll take the Bobby K special. Adrian Amos headed to the Packers.
Bobby K special.
It's a crafty.
Yeah,
Adam.
We're gonna get crafty.
Adrian Amos headed to the Packers. Your thoughts on that? Are you surprised? And you think the Bears should have given him more money and locked him down?
Well, not surprised once I saw the money, up to $37 million for a guy that has 3 interceptions in 4 seasons. That's a lot of money for, but I get it from the Packers' standpoint. They've had a lot of problems there. The back end of their defense, a lot of missed tackles, and Amos isn't a guy who misses tackles. He's a very solid player, but he's also not a huge playmaker. So he, within the Bears' defense, with all the talent they have, he is very replaceable, and so you don't give him that much money. Once I saw the money, I was fine with it, but I am interested to see who the Bears go after, because they were trying to get Eric Weddle over the weekend, and he ended up going to L.A., but they got to find a new safety here.
Who are the options? It seemed like there was a large group of free agent safeties this year.
Yeah, and I do wonder if they'll just look at the draft, too, at this point.
But can you get a good defensive back in the draft in the third round?
Eddie Jackson.
That's a good point. Amos was a fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
And Eddie Jackson was a fourth-round pick. So this is an area where Ryan Pace has been really good, whether it's running back or in the secondary. He's been able to find guys in the middle of the rounds. Here's a thing, though, that I think we have to bring up. Until he signs elsewhere, the Le'Veon Bell thing is very interesting to me.
Okay, so now this was a big... This was brought to my attention, and I thought to myself, now, Le'Veon Bell... Were he available for the Bears? How much are you going to have to pay him? Is that why they're clearing all this cap space?
Right.
Is this is he the solution that I would think he would be?
Well, just from a football standpoint, yes, he would be a pretty big solution on the offense. Think about what we talked about all last year with the offense. What was the biggest problem? It was that the running game was never consistent. And I found it very interesting because I couldn't really figure out throughout the year, all right, is this Jordan Howard's fault? Is it are they not blocking right up front? But then they go out and they lock up Kyle Long and Bobby Massey to make sure all five offensive linemen are back next year. So that told me that they really did think it was an issue with the running backs. And Le'Veon Bell would be an instant improvement on offense in the running game. Now,
right,
that
he gives
being
you a total distraction in the backfield, and then now all of a sudden you can run all that trickification off the receivers, and God knows what you're going to get.
Right, basically every skill player you have on the field could potentially get the ball on every play, whereas Jordan Howard was never really a threat out of the backfield as a receiver, and that's a big difference. But I'm still really intrigued by this because signing Le'Veon Bell would go up, would go against what Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have built in the locker room from a culture standpoint. You know, a guy who held out all year, he's failed drug tests before. In fact, I think he's one suspension away from being out for an entire year alone. And the money, too, to invest that much money in the running back position kind of goes against what I think Ryan Pace has been building here over the last 4 years. That being said, you're in this position. Honestly, if you sign Le'Veon Bell, I think the Bears would probably have the best roster from top to bottom going into the 2019 season. And it's all about winning the Super Bowl.
You know, Adam, did you realize that Kevin's parents put his picture, his face, over Le'Veon Bell's body to get him into Illinois State? Did you know that?
You've been following the admission scandal from today?
Yeah. A little bit.
It hasn't worked yet, though. They're on to us. Bryce Callahan, is he... any shot they bring him back, or are they moving on from... You think he's going to get a large contract offer from someone?
Well, it is interesting that he has not signed anywhere yet.
Yeah.
And the Bears move so quickly on Buster Skrine, who, to me, was more like a tier two type free agent, and that sometimes these guys sign a few days later. And for the Bears to already agree to terms with him, I found was interesting. So
he's got a screenplay name, too. He's like the kind of guy that go, you know, football player, Buster Skrine.
Right, it's a great name.
What's his deal? Because when they signed him, the reaction on Twitter wasn't great from Bears fans.
I think it's the name.
Well, the problem with Buster Skrine is that he's racked up a lot of penalties over the years and a lot of fines on some of these hits that he's had. So whereas Bryce Callahan is a very steady player, really never committed penalties, Skrine's more of a boom or bust type guy who, you know, might get his hands on more footballs, but, you know, is going to get penalized sometimes.
Callahan's played very well. He had some injury problems, though, right?
He's been very good the past
years. That's the thing. Callahan's durability, I think, is the issue in why if another team's going to pay him a lot of money, the Bears are willing to move on. Otherwise, he has been a very good player, hardly ever makes mistakes, and looked great in this defense last year. What's the wild card here to me that we just don't know yet is what kind of players is Chuck Pagano like? Let's not forget, there's a new defensive coordinator here, and he might like a guy like Buster Skrine, who's a little bit more aggressive, who maybe he can blitz more off the edge. And these are all things that we're just going to have to wait and see how the 2019 season plays out. But I imagine that this is a type of guy that Chuck Pagano wants.
Leonard Floyd, Khalil Mack, you look at the edge rushers around football. I mean, that's right up there as the best tandem. But do you think they could add a Justin Houston just to throw another edge rusher into the mix?
Well, to be clear, I haven't heard necessarily anything specific. And by the way, I did hear from a source today that said he was pretty sure the Bears were in the Le'Veon Bell conversation. So I'm starting to think that thing is at least, it's not just rumors. There's something going there, and you can never count the Bears out the way that they've operated here, very stealthily with both the Mitch Trubisky and Khalil Mack moves. When they made them, they kind of happened out of nowhere, right? So let's not rule it out. Meanwhile, Justin Houston, I love this idea, but I have not necessarily heard those two linked yet. But I do. This is a guy that still had 9 sacks last year. He's still 30 years old, and I love the idea of adding him as a situational pass rusher. Mm-hmm. They need depth at that spot, and this is still a really good player. Matt Nagy knows him from Kansas City, so I do like the Justin Houston
idea.
I'll
tell you what. Here's what I still don't like: the fact that Amos is going to Green Bay. I hate it when Bears go to Green Bay, because when they go to Green Bay, even if they were sort of at the end of their careers, like the Julius Peppers and people like that, although he was quite at the end of his career, but it was still sort of on the other end of the mountain for Julius Peppers, always beat up on the Bears. Always. Even when Jim McMahon went to Green Bay. People forget that Jim McMahon went to Green Bay. Jim McMahon went to Green Bay. I hate it.
I just think the roles have reversed, where you see the Packers getting desperate in free agency. That's what the Bears used to do because they couldn't build in the draft. And the Green Bay for so many years, what do? They built through the draft. It's not exactly working for them right now.
Who's their coach? Is it coach the guy that they brought, the interim? Is he staying? Who'd they get?
Matt LaFleur. Who they hired from Tennessee.
From the
Sean McVay coaching tree. Young guy.
Sean McVay coaching tree.
Yeah.
All right.
It's just funny that McVay has a coaching tree already. He's like
30
minutes older than me.
I talked to Sean McVay at the Super Bowl, so I now am technically on the coaching tree, too.
Did you start just so you didn't even know it, but you were drawing plays down on your notebook?
It just sort of happens naturally.
Feeds off him,
you become a football genius. Just being within 5 feet of the guy.
That's what they say. Mm-hmm. Although he kind of looks the part, though. The whole thing.
He's a football guy.
That whole
sure.
thing is like a movie, though. Again.
You hear him talk, he's like, is that John Gruden's son? Because he's really into it. He's like, all right, man. All right, brother. Big time football guy. Hey, brother.
He does seem like he has 5 cups of coffee in him at every second of the day.
Although John Gruden's not even like that anymore. John Gruden's just like a mad scientist now. He's over there. I don't know what's going to happen there. And although they got stronger, right? Didn't they just pick up somebody big?
Tony Brown.
Yeah. So
I think they brought Mike Mayock in there to bring some semblance of
sanity to what they're doing,
because no one knew what John Gruden was doing. Right.
Maybe don't trade a Hall of Fame type defensive end in his prime. Probably not a good call, John.
Well, the question then there's a question about whether their stadium deal was going to have a problem here too.
Yeah,
that they may get delayed getting into Las Vegas by another year.
Which is why I think the new deal they signed in Oakland it could be for 2 years. Instead of just one. So they are going to be back in Oakland, and it could be for 2 years. And so who knows if they'll ever move to Las Vegas at this point.
I just miss John Gruden in the broadcast booth. Monday Night Football took a dive once he left.
Well, it's because who they replaced him with.
It's true.
I never loved it.
Seems like it's falling apart. I love listening to Gruden. He was so goofy and crazy. I loved it.
When they put the guy in the chair in the sky, I just never couldn't figure out why do they have a guy.
Booger McFarlane.
Right. Booger.
And then he was blocking fans.
Right.
And then people were all ticked off. You know, it went viral on social media because he couldn't see the game.
Well, the whole point of being down there is to gain the insight of being on the sidelines, being around the coaches, being around the players. You're on this machine hovering above everything. It's just defeating the whole purpose.
Right.
All you're doing is blocking other people's view because you have a good view.
It's super dumb, and it's because people don't like when that camera goes by. Because there's cameras that go by on those same trucks.
Yeah.
And that if you're down there, everybody gets mad. And then all of a sudden, you got a guy named Booger going by, and you're like, why is there a guy? Who is the guy? When they first had him on, before people saw it on TV, they're like, why is there a guy sitting there?
There's always
is he an official?
Get out of the way, jerk!
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Adam Hogue.
Later, man.
All right. I don't know what I learned from that whole thing.
Well, it sounds like the Bears are kind of sort of interested in Le'Veon Bell.
I'd like to learn what's happening in the news. Mr. Jennings, what's happening in the news?
The FAA not yet ready to pull the plug on the Boeing 737 MAX,